Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The baptism of Jesus is a very strange event. It's hard for us to understand what's going on and why. And part of the reason for that is because it seems as though it was unfitting, not appropriate for Jesus to be baptized. After all, John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. His was a baptism for sinners. And Jesus was not a sinner. The scriptures tell us quite clearly that he was tempted in every way as we are, but he was without sin. He knows what it's like to walk in our shoes. He has been there, but he just hasn't done that. And so we can imagine the perplexity that John faced when Jesus came to him. Remember that John had said that he baptized with water, but there was one coming the thong of whose sandals he was not worthy to untie, who would baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Messiah, he wasn't even fit to untie his shoes, not even such a menial task as that. And yet, when Jesus comes to him, Messiah asks to be baptized by him. And so John just, he couldn't get his brain around that. He said, I have need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? And Jesus said, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting or necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness. That's a strange statement that needs a lot of unpacking. He said, it's fitting, it's right, it's appropriate right now. Not forever, not in the future, but right now. It is fitting for me to be baptized by you, John, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we see that word righteousness, and a lot of times our mind goes to the idea of righteousness meaning doing good things, doing good deeds, the act of righteousness, the obedience of faith that comes in response to the gospel, right? We think about a righteous person as somebody who lives life God's way. That's not what it's talking about here. It's using more of the Old Testament idea of righteousness that we see very often in the Psalms and in the prophets, where righteousness is put in parallel with salvation. For example, in the wedding sermon that I preached yesterday, we use the text from Isaiah 61, where it talks about how we are clothed with the robe of righteousness, with the garments of salvation. You see there how righteousness and salvation are put in parallel with one another. The robes of righteousness, the garment of salvation, indicating that righteousness is the salvation that God accomplishes and brings about for us. Not so much our righteous deeds, but his glorious righteous deeds on our behalf. And so Jesus is telling John that part of the plan of salvation, God's plan for his people, for Jesus and for John to carry out, is for Jesus to be baptized. And we're told that after Jesus said that, John consented. His initial reticence was overcome, and he was willing to do what Jesus asked him to do. Now, Jesus' baptism is an important, significant event in his life and for our salvation, because here the sinless Son of God takes his place with sinners. Here, the sinless Son of God takes a stand. He enters into the waters of baptism that are meant for sinners, and he takes his stand there, takes his place with us and for us. You might say that this is strange because Jesus himself is holier than baptism. But it's almost as if Jesus were saying that in order for him to save us from our sin, he needs to dive headlong into that cesspool of sin so that he can take our sin, nail it to the cross, and leave it there. St. Paul writes about it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is part of what Luther tried to describe as the glorious exchange of the gospel, whereby Christ takes our sin and gives us his righteousness, whereby he dies our death and gives us his life, undeserved though it be, that he takes all of our wickedness, all of our badness, all of our guilt and shame and corruption and gives us holiness. And this is the glorious exchange that God does. Now, it sounds like a very unfair deal for Jesus. His side of that is not very good, it seems. But Jesus says, it is fitting. Let it be so now. See, it wasn't enough for Jesus just to walk in our shoes, wear our flesh. He also wanted to carry our sin, to bear it in himself, so that he could save us from it. And so it's at his baptism that Jesus first, very publicly, in a very clear way, identifies with sinners who cast in his lot with us. At the very beginning of his ministry, he took the badge of shame and guilt and underwent a baptism of repentance so that we would know he came to save sinners like us. Now, later in his ministry, the various religious leaders and rulers would make fun of Jesus for his association with sinners. They would mock him for his love of sinners. In Luke 15, it says, the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Whew. They called Jesus a glutton and a drunkard because he was the friend of tax collectors and sinners, and he didn't keep very good company. He was with unsavory sorts. And when a sinful woman came to a dinner at which a dinner party that Jesus was invited to and began to wash his feet with her hair and with perfume, the host of that dinner party said, if this man was a prophet, then he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. As if he wasn't, right? The dinner host. See, supposedly, holy people don't like sinners. People like Jesus, if he were really holy, he wouldn't associate with those tax collectors, those sinners, the woman that washes feet, with people like us. Supposedly. But people who act all holier than thou, the sad truth about them is that they are just as sinful and just as much in need of a savior as the next person. They can't see it because of their self-righteousness and their blind hypocrisy. They can't see themselves for whom they are, and sometimes we are the same way. And because of our self-righteousness and because we puff up ourselves thinking that we're something we're not, we think that we're too good for other people. We're too good for Jesus almost. And so we can't see Jesus for who he is. But on Jordan's bank, Jesus shows his true colors. He shows that he is the beloved Son of God and the friend of sinners. And in the muddy waters of the Jordan, he takes his place with sinners. He takes the place of sinners and undergoes our baptism for us. Listen to the wonderful words of our opening hymn. The last verse really talks about this. Now rise, faint hearts, be resolute. This man is Christ, our substitute. Our substitute. The one who went in the water for us, even though he didn't need it, because we do. No wonder that God was so pleased with his beloved Son, because Jesus gave up what nobody else had and made himself nothing so that we could have everything in his kingdom of grace. After his baptism, Jesus traveled Galilee and Judea. He wandered for 3.5 years. He wandered, right? As if there were no direction or purpose to what he was doing. No, his road went straight from the waters of the Jordan to the cross and to the empty tomb. And on the cross, he declared, "It is finished," proving that he had fulfilled all righteousness for you and for me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen.